This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Tori Merton McClure, interesting name, is the first woman and first American to row solo across the Atlantic Ocean. Some of you may have heard that before. First woman and the first American to row solo across the Atlantic Ocean, which she did in 1999. She claims to be an explorer, but not an adventurer. She said she was also the first woman and first American to ski to the geographical South Pole. It's about 700 miles was the trek. You know, some of us are afraid to walk across the mall parking lot in the winter, and she skied across the South Pole to the geographical South Pole and did that. She's now the president of a Catholic university in Louisville called Spalding University. Why am I bringing up Tori Merton McClure? For this reason. She wrote an article that caught my attention with the first three-word sentence. Here's what it said. I have demons. That got my attention when I saw that three-word sentence. I have demons. As it turns out, her use of the word demons is a little misleading because she uses it more in what I would call a quaint way in talking about some things in her life. And she talks about her having a brother who was intellectually disabled, and she was the older sister who had to defend him and literally protect him. There was a time, she said, at a playground that kids started throwing rocks at her mentally disabled brother, and she got into it physically and on the ground fighting with people, and through the help of someone else who came along and separated people and said, this will not happen again, and it didn't happen again on that playground. And she said, my basic demon is a sense of helplessness. My personal demon is a sense of helplessness. And I wonder, is that what drove her? I feel no shame in telling teenagers that I rode a boat alone across the Atlantic Ocean because I was stupid, she says. Most women do not need to row 3,000 miles to figure out that love and friendship are good things. Most women just get it. But she said, I grew up with a sense of helplessness. That was her demon. I want to talk to you about demons today, but not in the way that Tori talks about it. I want to talk about it in the sense that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talked about demons to a young minister by the name of Timothy. We're looking at the book of 1 Timothy. Remember, Timothy's a minister at a place called Ephesus, and he needs advice from a wiser apostle named Paul. And I want you to listen to what Paul says about demons today. Get this, that apply to 2015, that apply to your life, that apply to, get this, what you read, what you listen to, and what you watch. It's in 1 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 1. Paul is talking to this young minister named Timothy, and here's what he said. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter time, some will abandon the faith, abandon it, and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated. Literally means made holy, is what that word means, by the word of God and prayer. Well, last week we were in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. We're actually backtracking to chapter 4, looking at the first 8 verses about the subject of the demonic. It's a powerful message. Our website is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith, abandon it, and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Underline that phrase in your mind if you don't underline it on the page. Things taught by demons. Some of the best ministerial advice I ever received in my life was a little late. I got it 5 years ago, August of 2010, from a Methodist minister from Leawood, Kansas. I'm not even sure what city Leawood's connected to. I know it's one of the big cities of Kansas. And Adam Hamilton was his name, and here's what he told a group of ministers that I at a seminar. If you're going to be in the ministry, you have got to take seriously what the Bible talks about sin, redemption, salvation, the demonic. You've got to take it seriously for this reason. Great logic. He said, if you don't take it seriously, why would you expect the congregation to take it seriously? Why would you tell the people at the church you serve, believe in the power of the demonic, and then you don't believe it yourself? Why would you tell people to believe in the power of the resurrection when there are ministers that I personally know, I can name them, who privately have told me, I'm not sure I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. You know what my advice was to them? Get out of the ministry. Because that's where the power is. And that's where the hope is, in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We need to know that Jesus rose from the dead, not in theory, not in spirit, not emotionally, not in a spiritual sense. He rose physically, bodily from the dead. I do this often. I'm going to give you the most important thing right now that I'm going to share with you. If you don't remember anything else, here's what you go home with. Behind every teacher is a spirit. Behind every preacher is a spirit. Behind every writer is a spirit. Behind every screenplay writer is a spirit. And you say, that's pretty heavy. And it is heavy. But it's also true. It's also true. I told you about a movie years ago. I don't want to dwell on a bad movie, but a movie I remember reading a review on, where the central character is this evil person, super evil, demonic-looking person. And there's a dramatic scene in the movie where he single-handedly destroys a Catholic church. You know, knocks over the statuary, assaults the altar, and desecrates the altar in this Catholic church, breaks the stained glass windows, and then as he kills the priest right in the sanctuary of this church. It's just a horrible movie as I read the description of it. And then this evil character looks into the camera and says this with an evil grin, I am the way. I am the way. Now here's my question to you, not to dwell on the horribleness of that movie. What kind of spirit is behind the writing of that movie? You want to say the Holy Spirit wrote that? I don't think so. Behind everything in our culture is a spirit. Everything is spirit driven, even if we don't recognize it. Everything is spirit driven. Every song you listen to, spirit driven. Every TV show you watch that you are dedicated to watching, spirit driven. Every movie we see, spirit driven. And if you really believe that, as one person said in the first service afterwards, they said, you know, if I really believe that, that would change some of the stuff I watch. I said, yeah, it would. It would change some of the music maybe I listen to. Yeah, it would. It would change some of the TV shows that I think are hilarious. That's right, it would. It would change a lot about a lot of things going on in your life and in my life.
This message continues on Cross Hope tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Let's look at verse 1. The Spirit says clearly that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. When are the latter days? Next Tuesday? No, we're in it. I believe the last days began when Jesus rose from the dead. Personally, that's the beginning of the last days, the resurrection of Christ. That there would be people who would abandon the faith. People are surprised when Paul would talk about that, but are you surprised when you've known somebody, a man who's abandoned his family? No. You ever heard of a woman, a wife and mother, abandoning her family? Sure you have. We all know stories, anecdotal examples of people who have abandoned their family. Is it any surprise that people would abandon, according to Paul, abandon their faith? Which means to turn your back on. When you abandon someone, you turn your back on them. That's what it means. And there are people who turn their back on their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You ever thought of demons being responsible for curriculum in life, You ever thought of demons being responsible for a lot of things in life? And you say, boy, that's melodramatic. It is. That's a little bit over the top, isn't it? Yes, it is. But I believe it to be true. Verse 2, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared. That's the Greek word there is cauterizo. We get the word to cauterize, medical procedure. Have been cauterized as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain, verse 3, from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything, verse 4, God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Warren Wiersbe, in commenting on that verse about marriage, said this: beware of any church group that tampers with marriage. How many of you have ever been to a place in Kentucky called Pleasant Hill, Kentucky? It's a place called Shakertown. You ever seen that place, Shakertown, Kentucky? It's a sect that came out of the Quaker church. They were called the Shaking Quakers at one time, but their roots are out of the Quakers. They were in, I think, New York and Maine. They had a base in Kentucky, in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky. If you've been there and you've taken the tour, you've heard this. They had a dorm for the men and a dorm for the women. They would forbid marriage, which, you know, didn't bode well for keeping the group going. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out if you're against marriage, then your group is going to eventually die out because there's no procreation. There's no births are going to happen. But here's what was interesting to me. To keep the men and women from mixing, they would every night would sprinkle flour on the floor, and that way if they saw a man's shoe walking toward the women's dorm, you know, they would see the footprint. Now, I think I would have been smart enough to walk with a broom in front of me, but never mind. I don't know why my mind thinks that way. But that's what they did to keep the men and women apart. And it died out as a group. Beware of any group, Warren Wiersbe said, that tampers with marriage. And there was a thing taught called asceticism, where people were taught that certain foods were wrong to eat, and therefore you were holier, you were more spiritual if you only ate certain foods. And Paul blows that out of the water when he says in verse 4, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated or made holy by the word of God and prayer. Well, we'll continue tomorrow on CrossHope, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. And there was a thing taught called asceticism, where people were taught that certain foods were wrong to eat, and therefore you were holier, you were more spiritual if you only ate certain foods. And Paul blows that out of the water when he says in verse 4, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated or made holy by the word of God and prayer. I want to give you a new insight today. When you pray for your food, if you do that, some of you do and some of you don't. I know in a group any size of people that don't pray over their meals. You're not just saying, God, we thank you for the food. You are saying, God, we consecrate this food. We make it holy by praying over it. And that's really a spiritual dynamic that happens when people pray over a meal. Have you ever read some of the contents of some of the things you eat at restaurants? You need to pray. You really do need to pray. Some of you know who Tim Hawkins is, the Christian comedian who says every time he eats Cheetos, he prays, Lord, change these to carrots before they reach my stomach. Change these Cheetos to carrots. It doesn't work that way. He has to pay the price of eating the Cheetos. And this is what I find intriguing. Verse 6 blows me away as a minister. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. That makes you a good minister, is pointing out the truth that there is a demonic influence in the world, and you better be aware of it. Everything is spirit-driven in our culture, behind every teacher, behind every preacher, behind every author, musician, songwriter. There is a spirit, and either it is a spirit that's holy or it's an unholy spirit, as narrow-minded as that may sound. What's it mean in verse 7? Some of you were wondering, what's he talking about? Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Did you ever grow up believing something that you found out wasn't true? Like maybe it was an adage your parents used. I tell this out of embarrassment, but some of you heard me tell it, but I really believe that. When my mother told me that when I was in high school, that if I put on a wrinkled shirt, she said, you don't have to worry about it. Your body heat will iron the shirt for you. By the time you get to school, your shirt will be ironed. You know what? I believed her. I honestly, so I went to college. I never ironed my, because my body heat ironed the shirts. And Annie can tell you, this is true. I told Annie when either we were first married or right before, I said, I don't need to iron my shirts because my body heat will iron them. She said, who in the world told you that? I said, my mother. She said, that's not true. We all believe things that perhaps in life that we thought were true, but they're not. And the worst type of error like that is spiritual error. Some of you may be a little offended by verse 8 that says physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. He wasn't slamming exercise and working out and physical training. He was saying, just remember, training for godliness has its eternal component to it. What good is it? And I really mean this. This is not just a sarcastic statement. What good is it if you die healthy? Think about that phrase. You die healthy. In other words, you were healthy right up until the day you died and you took your last breath and people were able to say at your funeral, he died a healthy man, she died a healthy woman, but you died and had to face eternity. What matters is what you believe. What matters in the one you believe in, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But I think one of the most moving stories I've ever shared is told by Ken Sandy, who's an attorney, I think from the state of Idaho. But he tells a story about a German Shepherd dog that moved me to tears. It literally did. I heard him tell it. He said he was jogging in his neighborhood one day. So typical subdivision is the way he described it, when he saw across the street a blind woman walking with a German Shepherd seeing eye dog in front of her with the harness, the typical thing that you would see. And he said that she came up to a driveway where there was a car that was parked over the sidewalk. You can get the picture in your mind. It wasn't all the way in the driveway. It was straddling the sidewalk, and it obviously blocked that sidewalk. So when the dog came up to that place in the street, a route that evidently she was very familiar with, the dog stopped and started to pull to the right or left to go around the back of the car. And Ken Sandy said he just stopped in his tracks to watch what would happen. He said the woman pulled back on the harness and said straight ahead. She was evidently familiar with the route. And some of you know what happened. He stopped a minute, and then he pulled to the right again to go around the car. She yanked on the harness again and said, I said straight ahead. And the third time, he pulled to the right to get around the back of the car, and she yanked on the harness and kicked the dog in the hind legs and said, I told you straight ahead. And after the third or fourth time, Ken Sandy said he never said a word. He just watched the dog lead the woman right into the car. And as soon as she realized what had happened, Ken Sandy said, I wasn't prepared for what I was going to see. She got on her knees, and she put her arms around the dog and said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You were trying to help me. You were trying to protect me. But I didn't believe you. I didn't, whatever. Who knows what she said to her dog. And the thought occurred to me, will there be a time in heaven where we get the opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry. You tried to warn our family about the demonic and the stuff we were watching, but we didn't listen. We said straight ahead, we're going to watch this. You tried to warn me that there was a demonic influence and there were things taught by demons, and you mentioned it in 1 Timothy. But you see, we had things to do and places to go and people to see, and we were too busy to pay attention to it. I wonder if we'll ever get an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Some of us have spent a lot of time saying, I'm sorry, to the Lord, I think. What's the message today? Behind every preacher, every teacher, everything that's written, everything that's sung is a spirit. And Paul is telling a young minister named Timothy in a place called Ephesus, Timothy, remember, some people are going to abandon the faith. They're going to turn their back on it. And they're going to follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Be aware of that, Timothy. And if you tell people these things and tell people that everything is to be received with thanksgiving, and when we pray over food, we consecrate it, we make it holy with by the word of God in prayer, you'll be a good minister. I think of all the seminars on how to be successful in the ministry and how to have a building program and how to raise money and how to do this and do that. And Paul just said, you want to be a good minister? Do these things that I share in chapter 4. What a powerful message for me. And what a powerful message for you about what's eternal and what's important. Believe it today. Let it change your life and let it speak to your family in terms of what you watch, what you listen to, what you do, and where you go. You see, everything is spirit-driven in our culture, whether we know it or not. Everything is. Let's pray together.
Well, if that statement is true, what does that say about what you watch, what you listen to, and what you read? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.